check out that picture. If anybody wants to know where we went, we had a chance. We've been trying to get away for like 5 years. And you know, all the things that go on in our lives have just kind of kept us here. Our son Daniel had a powerlifting competition, and it took him to Memphis. So we decided that, you know, we've been talking all this stuff about building our family and building relationships. We said, we're going to go and support Dan. And we went to Memphis, and we spent about 5 days there. And we got to see him lift, and he did pretty well. He didn't come in first, but he did okay. We're just thankful for that. And we had a good time as a family. But one thing, as I was there, you know, I like to take pictures and kind of see what's going on. But what do you see weird about that picture? Why is there three bridges within 150 feet of each other? Dennis said, that seems crazy, right? Hey, you're a taxpayer. You're going, what are these people doing, right? So I want to talk about this. By the way, they are trying to build relationships and make the economics work. By the way, those three bridges, they connect the state of Tennessee to the state of Arkansas. And there's about 50,000 people that commute every single day on one of those bridges into Memphis. Another 50,000 people, by the way, there's actually four bridges. One of them is like another mile and a half down the road. And the other 55,000 come across on that bridge. So it's kind of interesting. We'll talk a little more about that. But I'll throw this out. It's a little bit like relationships. If one bridge doesn't work, you got to build another one. Amen? And, you know, I'll share just real quick in this story. The first bridge that was built all the way back in 1892. And it was a bridge for the railroads. And by the way, we learned so much. We went to the National Civil Rights Museum. We spent like hours there. We did, you know, toured the river a little bit. We learned like more things than I could have imagined. And while we were on vacation, I feel like I was in school. We learned about cotton. We learned about all these different things. But interesting enough, this first bridge was built in 1892, and it was a railroad bridge. And by the way, what we understand is about 60% of most of the goods that we get come down the Mississippi River on a barge. But that goes north to south. The rest of the connections across our country go east to west, and somehow you got to get across that river. And it comes by truck and it comes by train. So interesting enough, the first bridge that was built there it's called the Frisco Bridge. It was built in 1892. And it just wasn't enough. By the time it was finished, it still wasn't enough to take care of the demand, right? And I'll throw this out, in our relationships and our families, you know, we think we got a bridge working and we're working with our kids, but guess what? Sometimes it just isn't enough. We got to do more. And we're not quite even sure how to do it. What do we do? So interesting enough, then a second bridge was built, and it was built in 1916. And that bridge was also a railroad bridge. And they actually built the bridge, and on the sides of the bridge was a road that you could drive your car. And they would literally stop the train at times so you could drive your car across. The problem with bridge number two is, guess what? Every once in a while, there would be a fire, and where you drove your car was wood, so it would burn up the roadway, and it would close the bridge. And again, kind of like our relationships, right? Like we think it's going good, all of a sudden there's a fire, and now there's kind of a mess, right? And finally, they built a third bridge in 1949 that actually now could carry the railroad, and it also became a pedestrian bridge. And I had a chance to run across that bridge. It's kind of cool. So, you know, it's kind of neat. Connects Arkansas to Tennessee again. And then later on in 1973, they built the fourth bridge. And I'll throw this out. And again, you look at it and you go, like, what are they doing with all of our taxpayer money? They're still trying to maintain the relationships between the states and get the goods where they got to go. And they didn't give up. So I use that picture to kind of talk about relationships this morning. And I want to say this. Aren't relationships, they can really be a mess. And by the way, we feel it in our families. Don't you wish you had perfect kids and perfect grandkids and great-grands and a perfect family? we all wish for that, but yeah, you might as well give up on that wish. Not going to happen. Relationships are a mess, but I'll throw this out. They are so worth having, relationships, right? Relationships is really what life is all about. And we need to know how to work them and how to build them. And, you know, relationships, that they really are, and many have said this, they're like a window to our soul. When our relationship vertically with God is going well, our relationship with people tends to go better. And when our relationship with God is kind of cut off or stymied for some reason, our relationship with others tends to be more of a mess and more of a problem. So the question we're all probably saying is, well, how do we build these relationships with our children or even others so that we can transmit to them the eternal values that are in our hearts? And I'll throw out to us, we live in a day when, by the way, the numbers are astounding. We had an Awana conference this week just kind of sharing with us this idea about being better disciple makers for our families. And think about this for a second. About 60% of the kids in our congregation, when they graduate school, will walk away from church and will walk away from God. And the speaker, by the way, he used this illustration. He said, imagine, you guys, by the way, anybody remember our graduation Sunday? When graduation Sunday is the time we like bring up all the kids and we're like, praise God, look at, they all got through high school, they got through college, grad school, whatever it is, middle school, and we bring them all up. He said this, the speaker said, he said, just imagine if you were to separate the group on the stage and said, well, these 60% are going to walk away from God and never come back. These 40%, they might stay. Wouldn't that just break your heart? And that's kind of the challenge that we face. By the way, youth ministry. You know, praise God for Pastor Ansu, Verna, Jonathan, Gloria, Natalie, Mrs. and Mrs. Long, others that are engaged in that. Our Awana ministry, you know, Jill, Barbara, and all the people that are engaged in that ministry, a Vacation Bible School, Sunday School, we're working on real hard right now. But, man, we want to see these kids follow God for their whole lives, not just a little while, right? So we got to figure this out. So my encouragement this morning is let's listen in on God's word and just try to figure out how can we develop these relationships. A kingdom home, and I'm not going to belabor this, it's just imperative for the spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being of everyone in it, husbands, wives, children, and singles. And I want to just take us right to the very bottom. Building redemptive, ongoing relationships of trust will provide a lifetime platform of growth. Now, with that, everybody look up for a second. A lot of us are living in a time of our lives now where our kids don't live at home or don't live at home very much. They're away at school more than they're home, or they have jobs and they've moved away. What we still want to have with our children is a relationship where we can speak the words of God into the situations of their life. We still want to be influential. We still want to have fun with them. We still want to enjoy the fellowship that we have with them. But we want them, when we leave this earth, to be God's children. Right? And that's the goal. So relationships are just so huge, so important. So we want to kind of move right on down to the next point. And I want to share some ideas with you. We're going to kind of get right on into this morning and really come up with hopefully some ideas that are really going to help us. And Chris, if you just advance the slide, that'd be helpful. Thank you, my brother. We spent some time on this whole topic. I'm not going to dig into it deeply this morning, but we talked about Proverbs 22 says this, that we're to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he or she are old, they won't depart from it. And that's kind of the idea. We're supposed to cultivate in them, right, this thirst or this desire to know the living God. And I want to just say this to us today. By the way, all of us out there as parents, we've all had different degrees of struggle, haven't we? But I'll throw this out. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there a parent out there that has never struggled?
If you haven't, by the way, come on up. You know, come on up. Because I'll say this, our kids are not perfect. Our relationship is not perfect. We have struggled. We continue to struggle. We will struggle till Jesus calls us home. But I want to say this to all of us today. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So whatever we say today, I know it's going to be hard. It's going to be some hard days. By the way, there's going to be some long days. I appreciate the author of the book that we're using from Family Life. He said this. He said, the days are long, but the years are short. Isn't that right? Like, it seems like sometimes, like, working with our children, our grandchildren, etc., is endless days, but they go by so very, very fast. So we need to figure out what's some principles that we can do. So here's the first thing. And by the way, this is the foundational thing. You know, we talk about this as our scripture. We'll dive into this in a minute more. Is that we need to teach our kids and our grandkids and our greats and our nieces and our nephews and whoever God has put in your life and your sphere of influence as an adult, we need to teach our kids that they are loved. And that is the number one thing. Our kids need to know they are loved in an unconditional way. And we'll come back to that more in a moment, right? Here's some things they have to understand. We need to teach them that they are loved and that they're loved by God. There's a whole lot of kids out there and a whole lot of adults, too, that think nobody could love them, that they've gone too far, they've done all these things, and they bought into the biggest lie of Satan is that you're too bad for God to love. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Our kids need to understand that they are loved by God. The second thing they need to get a hold of is that they are loved by us. Right? I know you messed up. We still love you. We're not taking our name off you. We're not going to throw you out in the street. We love you. We love you. Now, kids need to understand that. And by the way, when we love our kids unconditionally, we do what God commanded us to do. We act like him. You know, we follow his lead. The third thing that's kind of part of that, corollary to that is, you know, our children need to hear from us words of affirmation. We'll talk about what does that mean. Our kids need to hear that they're okay, that we love them, that we care about them, and that they have qualities and strengths, and that they are a gift from God too. And finally, our children must see love, forgiveness, grace in their parents. They need to understand that they're loved. So I want to just share with you for a second as we kind of dive into that. I'm going to share a few passages of scripture and kind of elaborate on them just a little bit. Our kids need to understand and get this down, that they are loved by God. Write this down. Our kids are loved by God. And how do I know that? Look what the Lord says. And we looked at this passage before, Psalm 127. It says, children are a heritage from where? From the Lord, right? God has blessed us with our children. And by the way, as grandparents, God has blessed us with our grandchildren and on down the line. Great, 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 whatever it is. If you got them, they are a blessing from God. And God, they're a gift from God to us. And we need to understand how much God values our kids, our offspring. God values them. You know, and by the way, I want to share with you guys. Remember the story about with Jesus? He was with all his disciples. And the disciples, by the way, you know, when we get together, think about this. You know, sometimes we don't want to be bothered by our kids, right? We don't want to hear the baby crying in the back. Oh, I wish they would just keep that kid quiet. But by the way, we got it all wrong. Because look what Jesus said. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For such is the kingdom of heaven. God loves children. By the way, and write this down, of any age. God even loves teenagers. A whole lot. God loves them all. And God says this, I want to throw this out to us. You know, sometimes I think about that as a church. Sometimes, you know, as a church, if we didn't have children, we wouldn't have such a mess. If we didn't have children, we'd have less problems. But if we didn't have children, we wouldn't be doing the work that God's called us to do. So we got to clean up the mess and we got to deal with the screaming. because that's what God's called us to do and equipped us for. God loves kids, and he loves them unconditionally, right? And we got to kind of get a hold of that. And our kids, by the way, our kids need to understand that they're never too far gone, they're never too sinful, never too dirty, never too anything, that God doesn't love them anymore. You know, and that's such a huge challenge. And by the way, these are verses that we know so much, right? John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, and Christ died for kids. You know, Jesus, by the way, he's so unlike us. You know, we want to shoo everything that bothers us away. Jesus embraced everything that bothered us. And that's what our kids need to feel, that. They need to feel a sense of, I am so glad that you're here in our family. And if they come with us to church, I am so glad that they're here. You know, as annoying as they might be at times. You know, and I go back, I grew up in a different generation when I came to church. And sometimes you guys might feel this, right? You got little kids sitting next to you, like, be quiet before long. It's like, shut up! You know, sit still, right? But praise God that they're here. You know, back I heard stories, you know, back even before my day when, you know, the parents behind you would take the hymnal and hit you on the head so you'd be quiet, right? You know, we're not advocating that, but we need to say this. You know what? Praise God they are under the sound of the Word of God. You know, they're under the sound of the Word of God. God loves kids. And by the way, they need to understand that. We need to teach that. You know, and I'll share with you, one of the greatest illustrations of that, the Lord himself used this illustration. It's called the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son, some call it. And you remember this picture that he painted, right? This son, he kind of grew up. He's probably a teenager. And he said, you know, I got an inheritance, and I want it now. I think all of our kids think we have an inheritance and they want it now, right? Can you give me 20? Can you give me 30? Can you give me 50? Can you give me 60? Can you pay for this? Can you pay for that? Right? You know, that's sort of human nature, right? We did it and our kids do it too, right? But look what Jesus said. It says, he used this parable. He said, this is about the father. This kid that went off, and remember what he did, right? He lived a riotous life. He spent all the money. He tried every sin. He did everything wrong. He ended up having no money. He ended up being homeless. He ended up eating the food that the pigs left over. And he woke up and he said, wait a minute, what am I doing? And he came back home. And when he came back home, here's the story begins. And he says, and he arose and he came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And I'll skip down to verse 24. He said, for this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Right? This is a picture, right, of how it ought to be, right? How it is with God. God uses this for every lost person, man, woman, or child in the world. He bids us to come. And no matter what we did or where we've been, he says, come back now. And I'd be remiss, by the way, if we're sitting in here today and we don't have Jesus as our Savior, we're not part of God's family, we're feeling the weight of sin, it's like crushing us, God is saying, come now. And he's out there looking for us to come back. He's waiting for us to come back. And like this picture, he's a father. He's just looking on the horizon for the return of his son to come back home. And in that, we see the love of God. God loves our children so much, right? He loves them so much. And then I want to segue, by the way, you know, the Lord says this multiple times in the scriptures that we're supposed to be like him. He even says this phrase, he says, be perfect like I am perfect. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect followers of God. There's no perfect Christians. But God expects us to step up to the plate and love like he does. And he wants us to understand that we need to teach our children to know that they are loved by us. That they're loved by us. And he gives us this command. We read about this a few weeks ago, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want you guys to kind of get a sense of this, right? I'll skip down to verse 6. He says, "In these words I command you today shall be in your heart." And I want to share that today. You know what? Loving our kids ought to be in our heart because it's the heart of God. It needs to be in our heart. He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." And here's what he's trying to say. You know what? Parents need to build into their children the fact that they are loved by God and they are loved by their parents. And I want to say this to us. Everybody look up for a second. Don't miss this. If you walk out, if someone asks you in the parking lot, what'd they talk about? Take this one fact with you. That if we're going to build relationships of any kind, the greatest tool that we have is time. Does that make sense? So if you want to build a better relationship with your wife, spend time with her. You want to build a better relationship with your husband, spend time with him. You want to build a relationship with your children, spend time with them. And while you're spending time with them, teach them about your God who loves you unconditionally and loves them all the same. Right? That's the key, right? Teaching and time is a proof of our relationship. It's a tool and it's a proof. You know, and that's a key thing, right? We're supposed to teach. I'll throw this out. When we love someone, don't we teach them? We teach our little ones, don't run in the street. You know, we teach them all kinds of things that keep them safe. We need to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ that loves them so much. And that we do as well. We got to teach them those things, that they're loved by us. And check this out for a second. One of the greatest ways, by the way, counter to the culture, one of the greatest ways your kids will know that you care about them and that you love them is that you apply discipline to their lives. And I'll throw this out. Proverbs says this, right? The wisest man, Solomon, wrote these words. He says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." So I want to throw this out, right? And by the way, how many kids, if you're a kid, raise your hand, you're a kid here. You're young. I see a couple of guys younger, right? So when your mom, by the way, I'm going to pick on you guys. When your mom comes down on you, right? You know why? Because she really cares. She wants you to be successful. She wants you to be safe. She wants you to know the God that she knows really well. And by the way, every other kid here, when mom and dad come down on you, it's because they love you. By the way, they won't come down perfectly. Sometimes they're just hot. Right? Dismiss the hot that they still care, right? But they care, right? They care. They care about you, right? And notice Proverbs 13 says this, and by the way, I'm not trying to re-preach Pastor Ansu's message from last week, but he talks about this idea of discipline, right? And look at Proverbs says this. He says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." You know, again, and we're not saying take the rod and, you know, beat him over the head. We're not saying that. We're saying we got to get in their lives in such a way that we can speak truth to foolishness. Because all of us, right, we grow up with immaturity and foolishness and ideas that are founded in the pit of hell, and we got to get our minds up to the skies of heaven. And that happens when we engage them and discipline them. And again, teaching and time and discipline are the tools and the proof that there is a relationship of love. And we don't want to get away from that. So our kids need to understand God loves them and we love them, and they can say, "I know my parents love me because they're on me like a cheap suit." You know, that's what we want them to get the idea. That's what's going on. And look, by the way, Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 4. He said, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good principles, right? Do not forsake my law. And look what he says, by the way, and we can say this as fathers, that, you know, we have a father that God gave us too, right? He says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. In other words, he's saying, my father loved me. Look what it says. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, do not forsake her, i.e. wisdom, and she will preserve you, love her, and she will keep you. Do you understand? So instruction that comes from God is going to be a preserving, helpful way to your success in life. Don't miss that. And I'll throw this out. Parents, our kids need to understand that we love them, and that's why we keep engaging them, sometimes hand to hand, sometimes mouth to mouth, head to head, whatever it is. But we need to keep engaging them and let them know we love them, and we're going to tell them every time they're wrong that we know, and we're going to be with them and help them through the process. All right, everybody look up. Please understand this. This is a process. You know, it's a, I mean, I heard this word, people use it, it's iterative. In other words, it means I do it today, and I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll do it the next day, and I'll do it the next day, and I'll do it the next day. By the way, that's why I need Philippians 4:13, that I can't do this without God's strength. I can't do it without God's strength. Like, I tell you once or twice, I'm like, don't you get it? And the answer, by the way, sadly, is no, I don't get it. And in a serious way, right? Because their minds are developing, their bodies are developing. You know, boys, they develop up to like age 24. Everybody look up. Moms, that's why the boys make you crazy. They don't get it, right? You know, their girls tend to be more mature. They're a little quicker. They mature faster. Sometimes they don't get it either, but... You know, they're a little better than most of the guys. So understand, that's who God wants us to be. Teach your kids they're loved by God and they're loved by us, and help them to understand that because of our time and our discipline, that's a proof text for our love. And I want to say the next thing. Children need to hear words of affirmation. And I want you guys to think about this for a second. What are some of the issues that come to your mind? What are kids thinking about when they're growing up, especially when they get into the middle school, teen years? They're like, I'm ugly. I'm worthless. I'm not good like the rest of them. You know what? Our kids need to know that they are created in the image of God, and they are exactly who God has created them to be. And Pastor Andrew is going to jump off on this next week. He's going to talk about identity. But our kids are created in the image of God, and God doesn't make any mistakes at all, right? So our kids need to hear words of affirmation, and I'll share with you guys a couple of scriptures that kind of guide us there. It says, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. In other words, we got to accept them. No matter what color their hair is, no matter, you know, what they sort of do, how they cut it, what they do, we need to accept them because they are our children. They are our gifts from God. Doesn't mean we can't try to guide them better, but we need to accept them where they are, right? And I'll throw this out. Our kids are anxious. Look what it says. It says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You know, we live in a day when our kids are in a crisis about their identity. They don't feel like they're good enough. They're not quite sure about the future. They don't think anyone loves them, including God or you. They need to hear from us, and we need to get them out of that depression by speaking words of life into them. They need to understand that a good word can make them glad. Look what it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know what? My prayer for us as parents is that my words would be like grace, would be like water, like the dew from heaven on their lives when they are feeling parched and dry and ready for death. Right? That's what God's looking for. And he says these words. He says, therefore, comfort each other and edify or build each other up just as you also are doing. And then look at Hebrews. And by the way, this is such an important thing to think about with our children today. Exhort one another daily. I want to encourage you guys, speak words of life into your kid every day. You know, not just, you know, I remember I went to a marriage conference. You know, we're going to have our own coming up. And this couple, they were kind of sharing how they started out. And the guy, the husband, he was like an ex-NFL player. You know, he's a big, tough guy and everything. And he said, you know what? I told my wife I loved her the day we got married. And I'll let her know if that changes. Right? What a terrible idea. Right? The point is, you know what? We need to speak words of life into our kids every single day. Because the world has drilled a hole in the bottom of them and all their encouragement is draining out every single day. We need to speak these words of life into them. You know, in Hebrews says, I like what it says. It says, exhort one another daily while it's called today. By the way, it's still called today. And it says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We don't want our kids to be hardened and discouraged and down and depressed and ready to end it all. They need to know we love them. God loves them. There's always hope and that they're valuable and they're good and they have great things that God is going to do in and through them. Right? We need to speak those words to our kids so much. And I'm going to throw this out. You guys might want to jot these down. Again, this will be available to you guys as always. The words that we speak to our kids talk about unconditional love, but they also affirm some things like this, that our kids are accepted and loved just like they are. That's what these words do. By the way, that'd be a great application today. You know what? When you go home today, tell your kids, man, you love them. You look crazy, but I love you. You know? Let them know you love them, right? They are precious to you and God. They matter to you. And others. They have strengths and gifts and are a blessing. They have strong character, or I'll throw this, maybe they don't have strong character across the board. Accentuate the things that they do well. They're not going to do everything well, but let them know, man, I'm so excited about what you're doing in this area. Right? They are respected and they make us proud. Those are some of the issues we got to address in our kids, because our kids are feeling like they're living in this world where they're alone and no one cares. And no one sees anything good. And these kind of words, they're going to build your child's confidence. They're going to open their hearts to God's love. And I want you guys to understand, know it's a process and get to know your kids. Get to know what really makes them tick. Get to know what really lifts them up and say those things. By the way, everybody look up. I'm not saying lie to your kids. I'm not saying sugarcoat the truth. But I'm saying, you know what? Look hard and find the areas in their lives that you can say, praise God, we are so proud of what you're doing here. Amen? By the way, isn't it easy to find all the bad things they do? It's just like us. You know, we all have this case of nearsightedness. I never see anything wrong in myself, but I can pick it out in you a mile away. That's what we do with our kids, our students. We need to kind of get to know them in such a way and find out what they do well, and let's accentuate that. Let's give them real positive feedback on that, and let's channel our correction, our discipline on the areas that they need to do better. But we can't just pick apart all the bad things. And you know, I share this. It says this in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It talks about fathers. It says, fathers, you know, don't take the life out of your children with all your criticism, but raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And by the way, everybody, take your Bible real quick. I know it's getting a little bit late, but Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Go there for me if you guys will. Proverbs 14, 1. Turn there. What a great verse, by the way. Directed at moms and women. Look what it says. It says, the wise woman, what's she do? She builds her house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her hands. But, so, by the way, everybody break up for a second. Notice God didn't pay any specific thing. He wasn't just on the guy's side. He wasn't just on the woman's side. He said, you know what? Dads, don't exasperate your children. Don't make them frustrated with all your criticism. And he says, mom, don't tear your house down with your hands and your mouth. Build it up. And by the way, that goes not only for your kids, but for your husbands and for your wives. Build them up. Speak words of life into their lives. So critical, right? So critical. So children need to understand that. And children, I'll throw this out. Children need to see love, forgiveness, and grace in their parents. Did y'all get that? Children need to see love, forgiveness, and grace in us. We're not the judge, jury, and executioner. Sometimes we come off that way, don't we? You know, we're coming like a machine gun. We just want to hammer them, right? Because the things they did wrong. God says, no, don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. Amen? So you know what? It is 12:28. We got a lot of stuff to think about already. And we're going to have Pastor Ansu come back, not next week, but another week, because we're going to finish this message next week. But we're going to talk about, we need to teach them that they are loved. And next week we're going to talk about, we need to teach them how to love. And then we're going to deal with this idea of their identity. But I want to challenge you guys, everybody look up for a second. We're going to sing in a minute. But I want us to get a hold of this in our hearts. Our kids need to know that God loves them. The people they can find that out best from are the parents that love them. And the grandparents and the greats and all the other relationships. By the way, if we have kids that come to our church and you're an Awana leader, Sunday school, youth group, let them know God loves them. They'll be back. They think nobody loves them so much. Let them know that you love them. And I want to encourage us. Would you guys this week, as an application, would you speak those words of affirming life into their ears? Sometimes, I know you want to just get them by the neck sometimes. I know, right? But when you grab them by their neck, turn their head and speak words of life into their ear. Right? Let them know. Let them know that God really loves them, you love them, and there's some amazing things that they bring to the family and to the house of God. And as we go out this week, let's be like God. Let's be a picture of forgiveness, grace, and love. And they can say, you know what? What my dad or what my mom's saying must be real, because they do it too. I want to throw this out. When you have a fight with your wife, make up. Let the kids understand. They see when you yell. Let them see when you make up. Let them see forgiveness in action. Let them see love in action and grace in action. Amen? We're going to pray, and our praise team is going to come and sing with us. Father God, thank you for your word, Lord. It's so much. It's so powerful. I pray, dear God, that you would just work, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would be able to teach our children that they are loved. Father God, help them to understand that they're loved by you first and loved by us as their earthly parents and grandparents and relationships. Dear God, help us to work on building relationships as you command us. Lord, I ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.